back from Shear number 7, okay, which was about Tsar Chassan. Great. Exactly. So the Gemara says that there's this idea of Tsar Chassan, and that's why we wouldn't be able to have them sit in the sukkahs. Now, what is Tsar Chassan? So Rabbi mentioned three different definitions brought on the Rishonim as to what it might be. The first one was Rashi. Rashi says it's too crowded and it's open to the public eye, and like thus he can't, you know, be as comfortable with his new wife there. Yeah. So it's unclear if Rashi's saying two things here, or really just one, that it's also too crowded and that causes him not to be able to have the privacy with his wife. But it really does sound like Rashi's having two different things. Number one, it's too crowded, and number two, that it's open to the public eye. Other Rishonim, like the Riaz, the Orz Ruah, the Meiri, all simply just say it's too crowded and thus is uncomfortable. That's what Tsar Chassan means. Exactly. And the third opinion Rebbe mentioned was the Ra'ah, who says that it's a real pain for the chassan to go up and down from the roof. Right? And now, like Rebbe tried to soften that because, like, isn't it a pain for everybody? Why would that be unique to the chassan? So it must be that for the chassan, this is uniquely annoying.
There's a lot of discussion in Achronim about that when some mitzvahs, you know, the Chazon Ish was Hagadol, a very famous, he said something that if he wouldn't be the Chazon Ish, you'd never get away with it. He said at times he didn't daven. It's in Benny Brown's big biography.
Because it's too annoying to go.
He didn't feel good, or he couldn't concentrate, so he just didn't daven that day.
Wow.
He did try to do all day.
Okay. So for a chassan, though, it will be uniquely annoying to have to go up and down from the roof. It will ruin his, you know, experience of being a chassan.
Yeah, like what kind of excuse is that?
Right. Know? So apparently that is enough for patrin from the sukkah. Yeah. Okay, interesting. So then the Gemara had this line, which was, Ein simcha ela b'chup. So now there's different ways to take that. Right, so like one way, like one general approach would be that according to halacha, it's like defined as there is no simcha. Ein simcha ela b'chuppah, as it sounds, but that's a halachic term. And a lot of Rishonim understand that way. So therefore, like Tosos, for example, says that we don't say birchas chassanim, which is the Sheva Brachos as we colloquially refer to it. Right? So you don't say birchas chassanim except in the place of the chuppah.
You're talking about the week of Sheva Brachos. Yes. That's talking about at the marriage.
Yes, ceremony. Correct. So now,
at the place of the chuppah means.
So that's exactly what we're going to turn to now. So now, to this, what is the definition of the chuppah? Like in terms definition, so we have to speak about.
Open in some cases.
Sure.
Does the chuppah mean that thing which is standing
precisely
for
right?
And if the guy's got to stand it for 7 days, they're holding them, and you got to get real good friends to do that.
Yes, you do. Right. So what does this mean? Ein simcha ela b'chuppah. If it's a halachic terminology, so what is the chuppah for this regard?
Yeah.
So Tosu said it's the main place where the chassan and kala sit. Right now, like based off the rush, though, we can even add on to that sheet and say that any place where they set as their new main place. Right. Meaning the main place. Exactly. And that could be in a different location than initially was, as long as this is their Iker place. So that is the Tosos's, the Mali Tosos approach. And that's the rush. But the Ritva has something different. The Ritva says the place where the Chassan and Kala have Yichud, right? That is the place of the Chuppah. Like their private, you know, Chassan Kala house, that type of area. That's their Makam Chuppah, and that's where you would have this idea of saying the Shabbat Brachos. But Lamaisa, what about our minhag nowadays, right? Like, you know, we all have it in restaurants, we have it at friends' homes. So what about what we do nowadays?
Where are the Chassan and Kala are.
Right, where they are, but it's definitely not their Iker Makam Yeshiva. They went out to some restaurant, right? Or their friend's house, that's not where they live. And it's not their Makam Yichud, it's a public area.
If you're on a plane, obviously, no.
Yes, 1,000%. So how can we understand our modern minhag? So there's two other options, both brought by the Taz. So the first option brought on the Taz is that any place where they go to eat and party, but not just because they're forced to go there, is considered a place where they can have that simcha. Meaning this would be coming off of the rush as well. The Taz believes that the only issue with the sukkah, why was a sukkah an issue with their simcha, was because they didn't want to go there. They just had to go there. That restriction, insisting that they do this here, that limiting of their free will, is what makes it not simcha. But otherwise, they choose, I want to go to the restaurant now. So that's enough to have that simcha. That's the first option brought on the Taz. And that would explain our modern day minhag. The other explanation, which also works as well, is that the Talmud says, no. Back in the day of Chazal, there was a special thing called this chuppah. They had this ikur makom yeshiva. We don't have anything like that nowadays. Again, we're not referring to the actual physical canopy that they were under. So that we don't have a makom yeshiva, chassan kala like this. And thus, for them, when it was special, then it had to be in that place. And if it wasn't in that place, then it's not that makom simcha. But for us, where no place is specifically that special place, then any place, as long as it's the place where they're happy, they're having a party right now in honor of the chassan kala. Exactly. He doesn't say that. I didn't see anybody who said specifically the physical canopy. Everybody seems to agree to Tosos. It's not about that physical canopy. Okay, now that was all within one general approach. You know, maybe the mainstream approach of how to understand this idea of that of the idea being that ain simcha ela b'chuppah is like a halachic terminology. You cannot have this thing called simcha unless in the place of chuppah. But however, you could have just said, no. According to halacha, like, it all just depends. It all actually just depends whether you are practically happy or not. I mean, it's not like a din in that are you happy or not. It's just psychologically. There's not as much simcha unless you're in the makam chuppah. And this is an opinion which is brought in the Ritva and the Ran as a yesh omer. So now to this, then what we do nowadays is perfectly understandable. Psychologically, are they equally as happy here as opposed to like whatever the makom chuppah might have been or whatever? Yeah, of course. If they're psychologically happy, then that's happiness. And thus they would make the Birchas Chasanim.
You want to say regardless. Not necessarily where they want to be, it's where they're happy. Where
exactly. If they're, simcha. Meaning the Gemara is not saying like a din that if you can't have simcha formally. You know, like we're very brisker, right? You cannot have simcha unless it's din the chuppah.
Subjective, saying, practically, where they feel happy.
Lemaisa, they won't be happy unless in the chuppah.
And if they're happy,
they are,
with all their friends, whatever they could be.
You could have a Birchas Chasanim then. Exactly. So then this would be a totally different approach when then our minhag nowadays is perfectly understandable. If they're happy, then they're happy. And then what's the harm? Of course, they're allowed. Okay, so now Rav Zeira ended off this Gemara on the bottom of Chafema Beis. Something rather cryptic. And in fact, we have different girsos in his words. So now, Rav Zeira said that that he would do this.
Himself.
Right, exactly. He talks about himself, that he did both. That he sat in the chuppah, he had his chuppah in the sukkah, and all was well. And he was able to accomplish both. So now, was Rav Zeira saying that a unique din for somebody like himself? Now, that you could even cut in two ways. Either as like a chumrah, or that's the actual din for a gavaraba like Rav Zeira, somebody like that. And he'll be happy here, so he's not going to be patur memela. Or, alternatively, was Rav Zeira actually arguing? Not saying a unique din for him, but rather he was arguing, and he's disproving the previous opinion of the Gemara based off of a case study, proving their theory isn't true, right? Because I didn't, you guys are clearly wrong. And then Agav, within that second approach, if it is a machlokas, who do we pass him like Rav Zeira or not? Yeah. So, a bunch of opinions in the Rishonim Rebbe brought. Number one, was the Bala Itter and the Rush. That indeed it is a machlokas. Reb Zeira was coming and he was arguing, and who do we paskin like? We paskin like Reb Zeira.
Reb Zeira, I'll be Rishalmi.
Exactly. And this is strongly based on the Rishalmi. Why? What was the story in the Rishalmi? Just to rehash. The Rishalmi said that a particular shushbin, somebody who was a friend, a guest at one of the weddings, was told to go sleep in the sukkah. So you see that, like, if you could do both, you do both. Fine. That was one. Now, the Ritva also believes it's a machlokas. How do you know the Ritva believes that? Because he has less hilchas akava say. Meaning, he says that Reb Zeira argued, but we don't paskin like Reb Zeira.
Don't paskin like Reb Zeira.
Exactly. So, unlike the Bala Itter and Rush, who say it's a machlokas, but we paskin like Reb Zeira, the Ritva says it's a machlokas, but we don't paskin like Reb Zeira. And now, what about the Rishalmi, right? It wasn't the Rishalmi pretty explicit, he was supposed to go there. So, the Ritva explains that the Rishalmi is talking about where they weren't partying. At a time when you're not,
they weren't partying.
You weren't partying, you're not having that simcha then. So then they go back to sleep back at their home, right? It's not a slumber party for seven brachos. They go home. So if they go home,
you
got to sleep in the sukkah. Why not? That's the Ritva's opinion. So now the Rambam actually, Rebbe, said.
In other words, your hotel has to have a sukkah.
Well, yes, indeed. If they're going to be at the hotel for all 7 days. But even if we're talking about Shabbat brachos, right? We're talking about you go out to the restaurant. So now you leave the restaurant, you're going back home. You got to go sleep in the sukkah.
And it's really interesting, too, because we learned in Daf Yomi about that a couple of months ago, that the shushmanin, when you bring...
Exactly.
You bring a lot, the whole thing about who gets it, and the father goes, you're bringing, in other words, it's a very large investment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're going to get your money back
when you get
married.
Yes, it is. It's something that we're Toveya and based in, right? Okay, good. So now the third general approach here is that no, it's not a machlokas, and that's brought by the... I just back up for a second, right? Within the Ritva's opinion, Rambam seems most like the Ritva, i.e. that is a machlokas, but we don't pass like Reb Zeira. Now, why? What indicated that to Rebbe? So since he says it's Potter, right? So he's clearly not like the Rush. The Rush says you're Chayiv, we pass like Reb Zeira. So now the Rambam says you're Potter, so that's not like the Rush. And moreover, he doesn't mention Amidas Chasidus, which the Rambam often does. You know, if there is opinion in the Gemara which mentions Amidas Chasidus, right, which you could do if you're a Gavarav or something.
So
it sounds like he just ignores Reb Zeira.
Right.
So thus, he's probably not like the upcoming opinion of the Meiri who we're about to get to. So he seems like the Ritva. Just we Machlokas, we don't pass like Reb Zeira. So even if you are you're a Chaim Kanievsky and whatever, you're getting married, you're the Gadol Hador, nonetheless, there's no reason you should be in the Sukkah whatsoever. Don't do the Chuppah in the Sukkah. There's no added Chumrah. There's no value to it. Fine. So then there's the Meiri, though. The Meiri says it's not a machlokas bechlal, right? There's no machlokas. It was just a personal chumrah. And what about the Yerushalmi then? The Yerushalmi was recommending that chumrah, right? The Yerushalmi, again, had indicated that maybe you're supposed to do so. You're supposed to go to the sukkah. So no, that's just a chumrah. If you want to do the chumrah, it's a good thing to do. Okay. So now, why are the Chasson and the rest of these people, right, the Shushbin and the friend, right? So why are they Pater from Sukkah? So there's different ways to understand that as well, right?
You're not concerned with the Chassons when you're talking more about the wedding party.
Presumably, yes. I mean, even the Chasson itself, even the Chasson we could talk about in terms of Mitzvah or not. But let's just say for everybody.
No, but his point was very good. It was very good. The wedding party. Party means everybody involved, the cousin, the
yes,
kala,
yeah.
The kala,
no, not sure about
right.
The cousin.
Right, right. You were saying not even about the cousin. I definitely agree the cousin's part, the party, the people with him.
He phrases it because Rabbi Yochanan says cousin ubnei akupa.
Right. Yes, I think it's both of them. That's why I was saying. I said the Chasson and the rest of them, right? So why are all of them Pater from Sukkah? So there's two ways to approach it. Either there's the Tosfos by implication, the Rit from Iri Ran in his first opinion, that is because of Osik B'Mitzvah, Pater B'Mitzvah, right? And that seems simple. Now, the Raavad didn't want to say this, though. Since Osik B'Mitzvah, Pater B'Mitzvah, is even if you're able to do both of them, perhaps, right? Maybe like that, like we said, right, with the Or Zeruah. Even if you could do both, you're still Pater. And
both of them is Rav Zera, basically.
Well, and this Gemara implies that you would need to do both of them if you can. Because right? The Gemara works back and forth, and it's back and forth. It says, oh, maybe I should do it this way so I can do both. Or this. It sounds like you need to do it. At which point, it's not Osik B'Mitzvah, Pater B'Mitzvah, because the Raavad and others, the Or Zeruah, for example, would hold that you don't need to try to do both of them. If I can do one, I don't have to try to do the other one. I'm totally Pater. Not
the big machlokes,
right. That we alluded to all the way at the beginning of the year. That was the discussion. Yeah. Right? So if that's true, you don't want to read this Gemara about Osik B'Mitzvah, Pater B'Mitzvah. You want to read this Gemara about some other Pater. And that other Pater, this is held by the Raavad, the Baal Meor, the Rosh, the Ra'ah, the Ran, in his second opinion, a whole list of Rishonim also. So it's a big machlokes. And they say that it's either Mitztayer, and Mitztayer is Pater B'Mitzvah, or else Teshu Kain to Duru. You know, there's different formulations, but for now, we're not going to distinguish between them because most Rishonim say that Mitztayer is based on Teshu Kain to Duru. So two general approaches. There's a Tosfos camp, which is that it's about Osik B'Mitzvah, Pater B'Mitzvah. And there's the non-Tosfos camp with the Raavad and Baal Meor and others who would say that, no, it's about Mitztayer or Teshu Kain to Duru because they want to avoid the idea that it's about Osik B'Mitzvah, Pater B'Mitzvah.
Because they believe they'll get them into trouble.
Exactly, get them into trouble with the earlier sugyas.
Mitztayer is a shvach, is not such a great.
Yes, Mitztayer is. I'm with Mitztayer.
Particularly for other than the Chos and Kala.
Yeah, the friends are going to be Mitztayer. Like, you can't go to your best friend's wedding. Okay, so here
it's
I Mitztayer. The party. You're right. I can't go to there. And that would apparently cause you enough pain that you could be Mitztayer. I can hear it. Well, it depends how. I mean, this is for a discussion for maybe later or after, but it depends on how high of a standard you need for Mitztayer. Mitztayer could simply be something that I prefer not to be there.
It doesn't look like that. When I looked at the whole, I read the whole Oitzer in here on Mitztayer. And
for everybody
So, Amir Shem, we will get to Mitztayer more soon.
Not so easy.
I do agree with you personally. Personally, I do agree with you, but you hear where they're coming
from. That's what they say.
Mitztayer is extremely gamish. It's very relative. You know, it's like rubber.
Right.
Move it over.
Right.
So almost everybody wants it. Do what you want.
Yes.
And it'll fit me.
Well, we'll have to see. We'll have to see.
All right.
Okay, so let's see. So let's go on. So why are the... Just sorry for the briefness, but I just want to try to get to all three shirim, so we're going to speed through.
Right.
So now, why are the... why are the Chasson and the Kala and the rest of them also, well, it's not the Kala in this particular case, Pater, now not from Sukkah, let's move on past the discussion of Sukkah to the next Gemara about Tefillah and Tefillin, right? So why are they Pater there? So let's talk about it. So Tosos and his same camp, right, the Ritva and the Ran, his first opinion, would say that, again, Osik B'Mitzvah, Pater B'Mitzvah. And now Rebbe mentioned that Rebbeinu Chananel was probably like this also, since his Girsa was their Pater from all the mitzvahs. So if they're Pater from all the mitzvahs, that sounds like, again, Osik B'Mitzvah, Pater B'Mitzvah. It's not like unique to Tefillin and Tefillin. So now to this, so Tefillah and Tefillin are likely because of the idea of E'ef Shalikayim Shnehem. Meaning Tosos and his camp is that, right, that if it's E'ef Shalikayim Shnehem, that's why you're Pater from the second mitzvah. So somehow, as we're going to get to it momentarily, the idea of Tefillin and Tefillah are E'ef Shur to do both. As opposed to Kriyat Shema, where it is E'ef Shur to do both, at which point they would be Chayev in Kriyat Shema. As we'll get to soon.
It's a rough explanation, rough mahalchim. That they're not intuitive at all.
Well, right.
The whole day you're partying. I read all these Rishonim.
Yeah.
You're partying from morning to night. I mean, I've seen.
This
reminds me of National Lampoon when I was in the 70s. I mean, you've got to have this concept that you're partying from the morning till the night, not to put on tefillin for about a minute.
Well, one second. I mean, I don't want to get too bogged down, but the idea of tefillin, I mean, at this moment, tefillin, right, we're used to thinking of tefillin because we don't wear tefillin all day. We're used to thinking of tefillin as like putting it on a moment, but they might have been wearing tefillin. So do you take off the tefillin or do you not put on the tefillin until you went to the bathroom? Now you put it back on. I'm in the middle of a party. So am I supposed to? No, because the shifras or the like. Okay, so let's keep going. So the other approach, though, is Rashi, Raivibam, or Machamos, Rosh, Ra, Ran, and the second opinion, Miri, that there's a local problem in these ones in specific. So now, what might be the local opinion, or the local problem by these unique mitzvos? So Rashi explains by tefillah that it's because of a lack of kavana. The Machamos says the same thing. Right. It's because of a lack of kavana. Now, the Raivid and the Ran have a different approach, and that's because of a danger of shichras. Right? You might end up being drunk, and that would be a problem of davening while you're drunk.
Right.
Okay, and the Ra'ah has a third opinion, and that is that it's a kula midrabanan. Since he's assuming that tefillah is only midrabanan, which is a fair assumption. And if that's true, so...
Kriyashma.
Good. We're not on Kriyashma yet. First, within tefillah. Okay. You're right. In Achanami. The Ra'ah says it, and it sounds like even by tefillin, which is awkward. But in terms of tefillah, at least we're discussing to Rashi, Machamos, lack of kavanah. Raivid Ran, danger of shechras. Ra'ah, because it's a kula midrabanan, since tefillah is only midrabanan in the first place. What about tefillin? Why would they be patur from tefillin? So there's a Rebbe who thought that there's nothing to make from... There's slightly different formulations that we've shown, but the main idea is that it's about Shechros Vekalis Rosh, which would be like a Bizayon, or it's like a lack of Kedusha for the tefillin, and he didn't want to make too much of the slight distinction in the formulation.
Okay.
So now, if you're not patur because of Osu Mitzvah, so now, why not, though? Like, aren't they involved in a mitzvah? Like, why would these Rishonim not go with the idea of Osu Mitzvah? They are involved in a mitzvah, aren't they? So they should be Potter.
So one answer is that this
Brisa doesn't hold, and that's Rashi and the Balmor. This Brisa doesn't hold of Osu Mitzvah, Potter, and a mitzvah.
Oh, okay.
All right, you're not up to that yet. Yeah, that would be the other approach, right? So yeah, so right now, the Rashi and the Balmor say these Brisas, in fact, don't hold of Osu Mitzvah, Potter, and a mitzvah. This is part of the reason which pushed Rashi to say that. So now, the source for this might be saying also a help for this would be the upcoming Brisa implies Osu Mitzvah, Potter, and a mitzvah is a unique opinion. That is like the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Okay, no, but now the big downside for this approach is that this rule seems to be assumed in Shas, right? We are familiar with the idea of Osu Mitzvah, Potter, and Mitzvah.
Yes.
So now what would push these Rishonim to say like this? That, no, this price doesn't hold the Osu Mitzvah, Potter, and Mitzvah. So now, potentially, it could be because they hold like the Ors Ruah. And therefore, they held that even if you're Osu Mitzvah, Potter, and Mitzvah, then the price should have said you're Potter by Kriya Shema as well. The price is your Chai by Kriya Shema. But if you hold like the Orz Arua, you should be Padre from Kriya Shema as well. I don't care that it's Efshar Lekayim Kriya Shema and you're partying. But from the fact that it said that you're Chaya by Kriya Shema, if these Rishonim held like the Orz Arua, so then it should have said that you're Padre there too. Clearly the Brisa doesn't hold of Osu Mitzvah, Padre Mitzvah.
That's a far conclusion for something that takes a second to say. A very far jump to reject the Shas principle from a deal, from something that all the other Rishonim say. It takes you a second to say Shema Yisrael, put your hand. Like Rebbe, when he used to give the shear.
If you held of the Orz Arua's opinion, that Efshar Lekayim Shnehem, so then you should look at this price.
Efshar Lekayim Shnehem. Kriya Shema may be different, because Kriya Shema is not something that it takes so little time to do Kriya Shema, that you don't even have to be Mekayim Shnehem, so to speak, because it's just momentary.
I mean, that would depend if that's truly
the
distinction.
But that's what they're doing. I mean, that's what you're presenting. Well, you're here to do...
I'm here to present their opinions. Correct.
You're not here to redo again the shear to justify it.
Correct.
Okay?
I'm trying very hard to make sure that all I'm doing is repeating shear and not adding anything on my own.
Okay, good.
So let's keep moving that. So now, another way to say this, though, like what would push Rashi Balmor to say this, so brought by the Balmor himself, and the Meiri actually says this as well, is that they understood the Brisa to be talking about the first night as well. And therefore, the chasam for sure should have been patur on the first night. That was the Brisa, the Mishnah in Brachos, right? That the chasam would for sure be patur because of Osu B'Mitzvah, Patur B'Mitzvah. If this Brisa held of Osu B'Mitzvah, Patur B'Mitzvah. From the fact that it doesn't, and it's talking about the first night, must mean that it doesn't hold of Osu B'Mitzvah, Patur B'Mitzvah. Now, a whole other way to say this, though, is that the reason why they're not patur because of Osu B'Mitzvah, Patur B'Mitzvah, and this is said by the Raivin, and the Balmor also mentions this as well, the Malchamos, the Rush, the Ra, the Ran, and the second explanation. The idea here is that they're, as this is what you were saying before, they're not Osik B'Mitzvah. They are not Osik B'Mitzvah. Now the question is, why not? Why isn't this a mitzvah? Isn't, you know, being Mitzameh, Chasam Akala a mitzvah? So there are a few different options. So the Karbanet Sanal explains, at least in the Rush, that he didn't really mean it. He just meant that you could do both of them, and thus the idea of Osik B'Mitzvah, Patur B'Mitzvah doesn't apply. But that's not really what this approach sounds so much, and like certainly some of the other Rishonim don't sound like this at all. That it's that it sounds like they're really just not involved in a mitzvah. So why would you say that? So another way to maybe try to cut it is that maybe since it's only Darabana, and that would be based off the Rambam.
Which part is Darabana?
Bima Sameach HaSamakala. And that would be based on the Rambam Hilchos Avel, right, who says that it's Darabanan yet falls under the general category of mitzvah saseh of Behaftel Reicha Kamocha. Now that gets very complicated, right? Like there's no also mitzvah patron mitzvah by Darabanans, like for example by Hakbalas Pnei Rabba, which is one of the examples we see in the Gemara itself, right? So one could distinguish perhaps, maybe that was like a really important shear, but basically this approach is also going to be very complicated. Maybe the simplest one is based off of the Bach. And the Bach says they're not actually involved in Melech HaShemayim right now. They're not really working as much as they're being Mekayim a mitzvah. I mean, at the party, you're being Mekayim the mitzvah. You're not doing anything right now, though. Mm-hmm. And that's comparable to wearing tzitzis. You know, just because you're wearing tzitzis, yeah, not Pater from all the mitzvahs, as we said earlier.
It's a passive.
Right, exactly.
Passive fulfillment.
Yeish l'chalik between being Mekayim a mitzvah and being Osik a mitzvah. Right. Okay, good.
Right. That's like a brisker type.
Yeah, and that one I think makes good. That one's very mistaken.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, good. So now what does the Rambam think? Okay, like if we're just wondering about the idea of the brisa of the Tanakhama and Rabbi Sheila, right? So does the Rambam hold of it? Does he not hold of it? So the Amish Benir Mitzvah doesn't quote it, right? He doesn't send us a reference to the Rambam. And Mistama, that would be saying that the Rambam doesn't need to, because it was already covered with all these other mitzvahs, each in their proper place. You know, by Tefillin he discusses it, and by Tefillah and the like, that it was somehow already alluded to. But that's not so great, as we'll come back to shortly. We'll come back to the Rambam's relationship between the Brice of the Tanakhama and Rabbi Sheila. Okay, so now, the Rif, for example, and the Rabbeinu Hanana and the Rush, pretty much everyone quotes the Brice upcoming of Rabbi Hanani ben Akavia, seemingly the Halacha, right? That was the Brice with the Sofrim and the like. So the Rambam never mentions it. So now, why not? So the Magen Avraham says something interesting. He says that it was obvious. That seems really rather hard to say. That's the Magen Avraham Shita, but it's hard to say.
It's obvious that they're butter.
Yes. Because, like, first of all, it seems totally not obvious. I'm absolutely with you. Not obvious at all. It's the furthest thing from obvious. And moreover, it's not like the Rambam ever formulated it clearly, right? The Rambam never said, Hosek B'mitzvah Patur Mitzvah, half the Shurim in the past have been discussing. Well, the Rambam never said it exactly. So what does the Rambam hold? Right. So he never clearly formulated the rule, and thus it's hard to say this opinion of the Magen Avraham. The Beis Yosef has a different approach. He said the Rambam paskin against this price. The Rambam didn't think that this was true. You can't say that the Sofrim and the like are Pater. Mm-hmm. Now, what would be his source to do so? First of all, there's basis to say it off of the Yerushalmi. But moreover, the Brisa said it's to fulfill the words of Rabbi Yossi HaGalili.
Right.
Which makes it sound like it's a Shitas Yachid, right? Oh, and this is like Rabbi Yossi HaGalili, as opposed to anybody else would say this. Okay, so now, great. As Rabbi mentioned in Shir, there's always two types of why say something. First of all, what is the source? Second of all, what is the svar? So we just alluded to the source, basis in the Yerushalmi, and also from the line of Rabbi Yossi HaGalili. Okay. But what's the svar? This is maybe more critical.
The svar
for why you would not paskin like this brisa. Why would you think that it's wrong to say that you're automatically putter because you're a sofer?
You're talking
the
about
the brisa, right? Clearly, Rabbi Hanani ben Akavia thought there was a svar to say he's putter.
You're puttering the friends from the partying. Who are partying,
but you're not willing
passively,
to,
but you are not pottering this mahala,
these sofrim and the like, or the mochrei
chain of Meyasharim, the key to all of the Haredim.
Yes, okay. Indeed. So now, what's the svar to say that they're not pottering? Look, again, Rabbi Hanani ben Akavia clearly thought there was a svar to say they are pottering.
Yes.
So why not? So the Berakhi Yosef says one. So he says that it's a constant mitzvah, and it has no end.
Right.
You can do this all day long, forever, and then you're never going to do any other mitzvahs. It's not mistaver. Exactly like learning. Exactly. Just like Talmud Torah, which also...
Endless.
Exactly. Both in terms of time, as well as in like potential to do it.
You skipped all of the stuff that was in the Yalkut. That is enormous. He probably didn't want to do it, but if it's Seder. But if you're learning, does that potter you from everything?
Oh, so Rebbe actually mentioned, if you look back on Yom Torah, Rebbe talked on Rebbe Lichtenstein's yard site this past year, he gave a yard site shiur, all about the nature of Osik B'mitzvah Pater Mitzvah relating to Talmud Torah. It was a fantastic shiur. Rebbe doesn't need my house to come up, but Ayin Shem on Yom Torah is there. Rebbe Lichtenstein yard site shiur.
See, that was worth coming just to find out.
Yes, it was a great shiur. It's a great shiur. Baruch Hashem.
Oh, so that's the part that was skipped. Now I know.
Now you know why.
I
asked him when we were learning together. I asked Rebbe. Yeah. I said, oh, so do you plan to go back into the Talmud Torah? He says, no, I talked about it already. I said, I hear it. I hear it. There's no need to rehash. Good. Okay, so let's keep going, though. So that was one. That was the Berakhi Yosef Sfar. It's constant, no end, so thus the Rambam didn't want to pass it.
Right.
What about Nesivos HaMishpat might be based off of this. Nesivos HaMishpat says something interesting. He says that if you have to do a mitzvah, a chiyuv, then you're patur. But if you just volunteer to do the mitzvah, you know, you decided to be a sofer, that's very nice. Or you're the one who's the mochrei tefillin, so then that's not going to give you the rule of osur mitzvah.
Right.
So now the Imrei Bina had asked on the Nesivos, what about this brisa? How can he be against the brisa? He was tamua. How can he be against the brisa? But the answer is, maybe he's saying against this brisa, like the Rambam would be saying. He's not possibly like this brisa. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now, potentially you could say, maybe off the Nesivos HaMishpat, that maybe it doesn't count if you make money for it. Meaning you're only,
if you're getting paid
to do a mitzvah, that's not called osur mitzvah. Now, Rebbe didn't mention this in Shir, and I generally try not to add in things that Rebbe didn't say in Shir, but I think that there's an opinion in the Rishonim which said something along these lines. I think Rebbe Yerucham had a suffix about this.
About
if you get money for it, then maybe you don't have the osur mitzvah.
Okay, good.
But generally, you don't have the Ptor of Osipa Mitzvah, because you're getting paid to do it. It's not Osipa Mitzvah regular. Okay, so now, finally, Rebbe mentioned another opinion in the Rishonim, and this is actually explicit in the Rambam. He's explicitly working to explain the Rambam, and that is Rabbeinu Avraham in Ahar, right? That the Rambam's going l'shitasa. That Rabbi Yosi Aglili held that Osipa Mitzvah, without Tirda, even, is going to be Potter. But the Rambam doesn't paskin that way. We paskin like the Mishnah in Brachos, as the Rambam understands it, that there's a divide between Basula and Almana, meaning to say that only one who's osik b'mitzvah and is tarred, you need both components, is going to be potter. And when we say tarred, it's in the sense that you're so tarred you can't do the other mitzvah. The point being that somebody who's like involved in, you know, selling tefillin or the like, so while he might be osik b'mitzvah, is he tarred in that he can't do the other mitzvah? No, he could do the other mitzvah. Go and stop and do the other mitzvah. So accordingly, the Rambam was going to shitaso and says that you need both components to be potter, and this doesn't have both components. All right, so we're a little bit over time. I don't know if we're going to get to Shir 9, but at least let's try to do Shir 8. Okay, so now, what is the basis of the Ptor of Hochei Drachim? A very important yesod, right? What's the basis of the Ptor? So Rashi and Tosos say that it's Teshuv Kein Tadur, right? Just as you would... We're in Shir 8. Okay. So what's the basis of the Ptor of Hochei Drachim? So Rashi and Tosos say Teshuv Kein Tadur. Just as you would leave your house, you're also allowed to leave your sukkah, right? It's not in jail. You're allowed to leave. And Tosos also says that's the source of the Ptor of Mitzdayar as well. Okay, but the Ramban...
You have to remember that the idea behind that is that if you read the psukim,
right.
I read the Tosas carefully, if you read the psukim, b'sukot teshuv shivat yamim, the assumption the Tosas is making is that you're not even allowed to leave the sukkah. You're in slavery for 8 days, you're bound and chained.
No.
Everything's going to give you a ptor to be able to leave it.
No. I think Adarabba. I think Tosas is... okay, so maybe I'm wrong, but I thought...
I think that's the assumption, and then you've got to go from that assumption... You've got to prove that, no, you can leave.
But Teshuva Kein Taduru, meaning the actual mitzvah, I thought.
No, Teshuva, a lot of the Rishonim don't even hold them. Ritva didn't even like them.
We're in Tosos. I'm saying within Tosos, Teshuva Kein Taduru is that just as you would leave your house, you're allowed to leave your sukkah,
right.
Which seemingly would apply, I think not like what you were saying, that you're allowed to leave. I leave my house to go on excursion, so I leave my sukkah to leave.
That's right. That, the procedure is to enable, I think that what Tosos meant is that, to enable you to realize that you can leave. You need a heter to leave.
Okay, fine, perhaps, but now the heter becomes the rule. But it's not merely a kula, it's a definition. It's a definition of what the... Okay, fine. So maybe...
No problem with it. But works off the assumption of teshuv, stay there for 7 days. Oh, then...
Yes, but then we clarify that it only means teshuv came to duru.
I understand.
Okay, fine.
Very, very difficult to say that there's a basis assumption. I can't leave my
sukkah. Yeah.
Right. Well, I think that... Okay. I mean, either way, I think that at the end of the day, we're agreeing as to what the conclusion is. How we got to that conclusion, maybe we're slightly different.
Can I make a recommendation? I think we should go in the other room.
It won't be good.
Let's keep going. I'll end... Mir Tashem, I will end exactly at 11:30, wherever we're up to, and then we'll have time for sure.
Don't go to...
I will end at 11:29. Okay, Vayter. Ramban. Ramban has a different approach. Ramban says, Kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael. And that pasuk teaches us, it implies a settled citizen, not one who's traveling. And such a person is the one who's chayiv in sukkah, but not hochei drachim. Okay? So now, the Ritva quotes the Ramban, but he takes it a little bit further, not the Ranan part yet. Now the Ritva's going to add that. The Ritva quotes the Ramban, but he seems tied into Teshuv Kein Tadur and adds in even Mitzdayar. In short, according to the Ritva, ezrach leads to the understanding of Teshuv Kein Tadur to make one potter. Meaning, ezrach prompted us to read Teshuv Kein Tadur this way. But the Ramban himself sounds like he's saying the Ptor is only by Hochei Drachim of travelers, right? The Ramban then, you'd have to ask, why are you Ptor from Mitzdayar? The Ramban didn't tie it to Mitzdayar. So from then, it would presumably be from Teshuv Kein Tadur. But again, the Ritva had said that Ezrach prompts the Yeshua to get into Torah. So just to quickly, neatly summarize, right? We have Rashi and Tosos, who say, Hochei Drachim are Pater from Teishu came to Duru. Emet Steyer, Mistama, is also Pater from Teishu came to Duru. The Ramban did not say that. The Ramban said, Hochei Drachim are Pater from Ezrach, because Ezrach is specifically about location. You're not settled as a Hochei Drachim. Mitztair, presumably, is from Teishu came to Duru. And Teishu came to Duru doesn't mean whenever you leave your house, you can leave your sukkah. Rather, it means that if you would have left your house because it's uncomfortable, then you're allowed to leave your sukkah. I mean, the default is you stay in your sukkah. But if you would have left your house because it's terrible, so you also have a right to leave your sukkah because it's terrible.
But you always have to think about that you're leaving.
Right, yes.
You have to think. Yes, within their own bond.
Yes, I agree. Okay. And Ezra is what...
they're all really doing that.
Right, but...
the Tosos. It's got to be...
Again, I'm not sure about Tosos, but let's have that discussion after that.
Right.
Yes. Oh, that's why I'm going to summarize the Ritva in a second. So let's just summarize again. So Rashi, Tosos, Teishu, Kein, Tadur teaches us both Hochei Drachim and Mitztair. The Ramban, Ezrach teaches us Hochei Drachim. Mitztair is from Teishu, Kein, Tadur, but it's a very different direction than Tosos in the end. And the Ritva then says Hochei Drachim and Mitztair are both Ezrach prompting us to read Teishu, Kein, Tadur as we do. But it was because of Ezrach and then leading into Teishu, Kein, Tadur. So the Tosos and the Ritva, Teishu, Kein, Tadur is a din in your plans. Like, you're allowed to do, I want to leave, I'm allowed to leave. But the Ramban is a din in the sukkah itself. That Teishu Kein, Tadur is saying is that sukkah is a terrible sukkah. You don't have to live there, same way you wouldn't have lived in your house.
That's why Ramban didn't explain like Rashi and Tosfos.
Yes, presumably. Okay, so now what is the nature of the Ptor of Hochei Drachim? Now, in terms of, we were just talking about the source, but to define what's the nature of the Ptor. So now, is it a complete hafka, in that they're not chayiv at all? It only applies to someone who's living at home. You leave your house if you have one, and you go to your sukkah. Or is it merely a heter, a ptor, that just as you would leave your house, you're also allowed to leave your sukkah? The Ramban sounds more like the first side. There's no chiyuv at all. You're not settled. You don't have a chiyuv. Tosos, on the other hand, you could probably take either way. Although, in terms of Tosos' general sheet, Tosos himself as an individual, right? The Bali Tosos are on the page, so it seems more like a heter from Tosos. So it would seem like the Ramban goes on one side, there's no chiyuv at all, it's afka, and from our specific Tosos, it seems like it's more like a heter, although Tosos is a general camp of learning Teishu Kein, Tadur, you could have taken it either way. Let's talk about nafkamina, whether it's afka or whether it's a heter. So now, can you just leave your house, and this is what I think you were referring to, can you just leave your house if not for an important reason, like a business trip? So first, let's give a little bit of background on this,
business
right?
A trip is easier. Can you go, it's going to be more for pleasure.
We'll build up to that. So I was at first saying it like a business trip, but then we'll clarify maybe business trips are an important reason. That's what I was going to get to. You're right.
Right.
Okay, so now look, let's see. And just like, and also one important thing to highlight, this is potential room to stumble, so I just want to clarify something. This is not about the permissibility of leaving per se. You're obviously allowed to leave the sukkah. This whole discussion is about whether you're allowed to eat and sleep outside the sukkah, right? Obviously, one's allowed to walk out of the sukkah.
Yeah.
Never the discussion. Okay, it's about are you allowed to eat or sleep outside of the sukkah. Good. Okay, just clarify the misconception. So now, Rashi says, al derech schora, right? So now, that might imply that for a business trip, that also gives you the Hochei Drachim. And Moshe Feinstein explained that the heter is only if you're leaving for a good reason, right? Sar is a tzorech. And now one could likewise say, business is a tzorech. But just leaving for no real reason is not a tzorech, and thus you're not allowed to.
So you see from Ramosha Feinstein taking the
teva. Yeah, you're taking it, correct. And we're going to go on more about Ramosha.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So now Tosos specifically, Agav, Tosos specifically left out the word tzorech, which might imply he's saying that, no, that it was lavd off. But don't read too much into tzorech, because he left out the word tzorech. But let's move on to Ramosha for a second. In a later tshuva, Ramosha says that if you spent a lot of money to get there, though, for example, you're going sightseeing now in some distant location, you flew to Israel or the Alps or whatever, even Lav Davka Israel, isn't there? Rabbi says it's not such a Zionist necessarily, right? Even if you flew to the Alps, now you won't have time to see the sights. That's also called the Tzorech, and you have a right to leave your sukkah to go sightseeing and then maybe like, eat there or sleep there. So now Rav Moshe brought a proof from the fact that it would be ridiculous to allow you to camp outside and sleep outside your home, since you prefer it. I like to sleep outside, so I want to. So now you'll sleep in your backyard right next to your sukkah on the floor. That's ridiculous. Rav Moshe said, no way. Yeah. But that might not be a good proof, Rebbe said, because that's just because you have no right to decide which you prefer. The Torah said, do them in your sukkah. Sleep in your sukkah when you have the sukkah right there. But if you want to do something else, right, like you went to Niagara Falls or an amusement park, which doesn't have, you know, a sukkah there for you to eat in or something, then that's because you don't have a roller coaster in your backyard. You had to go there to get the thing that you wanted then. And then merely it's a side effect that you won't be doing those things. It's not saying like, oh, I could sleep in the sukkah, but I want to sleep next to the sukkah. It's saying, I want to go here, so now I'm here. And now mail that I'm here, I don't have a sukkah, so now I'm a potter. It's just a side effect. So that might not be a great proof for Moshe. A better proof, perhaps, for Moshe might be the opinion of the Or Zeruah. So the Or Zeruah said that if one chooses to do bloodletting, let's say, on sukkah,
then you're...
So we're going to tie in a, just in a moment, Chaim, we're going to tie in back to the Hakir. Right now, let's finish Ramosha's opinion, and then we'll go back to say how this might be a relevant nachmina for whether it's Hafka or whether it's a Torah. So a better preferred motion might have been the Orz Ruah, and that the Orz Ruah had said that if one chooses to do bloodletting on Sukkot, you're not puter from a mitzvah, since you could have done it beforehand. So now, this might prove that things which are optional are not a valid basis for a p'tor. Right? In fact, the Magen Avraham says that if you take a laxative, for example, then you're not puter from the Sukkah, right? Just because, like, oh, you know you're going to be in discomfort. I mean, obviously, if you have to go to the bathroom, go to the bathroom. But meaning, while you're in discomfort, it doesn't matter that you're still chayv in the Sukkah because you did it yourself. It was optional. But that also might not be a proof for a Moshe, because firstly, we're not paskin like this. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah paskins against that Magen Avraham. And moreover, these you really might not have been able to do at any time, right? As opposed to the Orz Ruah's case, where, like, let's say you could have bloodlet it beforehand, or you chose to bloodlet on Sukkot, so that's a chutzpah. But what? The day that you're off from work anyhow, and your kids are home, and you have the opportunity, let's say, to go somewhere, like, you only might have the option of going to the special Uncle Moshe Chol HaMoed concert on Chol HaMoed, right? So you only have these opportunities, perhaps, on this day. And accordingly, it's not like I could have done it beforehand. And therefore, this, again, might not be a great proof. Anyhow, let's get to the nafkamina of how this might be a nafkamina about if you're allowed to leave for no good reason. Are you allowed to? So it depends. If it's a hafka, then you're allowed to, since you're totally putter. Right? I'm far away from my home right now. I'm in a great adventure. I don't have a sukkah. Mamela, I'm putter. But going to Ramosha, I might not have been allowed to go there in the first place. It was only a p'tor, and I don't get to take advantage of the p'tor in such a situation. Now, Reb Lichtenstein, and this is important to note, Reb Ben Arsh quoted Reb Lichtenstein as saying that even if you are putter, like he wasn't necessarily willing to accede to Rav Moshe's point, from a Musar perspective, you should want to maximize mitzvot. And you shouldn't put yourself in a situation where you'll lose out on a mitzvah. Merely said this in the context of Bnei Akiva or something like that. When they're going on trips, they should go on a trip to a place which has a sukkah. So teach the kids the chinuchi approach is that you should try to find ways to do the mitzvah on the time when the mitzvah is available. Okay, good. So now, what does it mean that they're p'turim b'yom v'chayavim b'layla? Okay, that they're chayav b'layla. What does that mean? So
Hochei
drachim, yes. Sorry. So what does it mean that they're p'tur during the day, but they're chayav at night? So the Meiri quotes a Yesh Omer, that they're chayav to literally build a sukkah. And then what would the svar for that be? Because that's a pretty simple svar. At night, are you a hochei drachim? No, you're sitting there. So you have to build a sukkah. You're not any longer under the category of hochei drachim and p'tur. So the Meiri himself says, though, that was the Yesh Omer of the Meiri. He himself says, no, it doesn't mean that you're chayv to build a sukkah. Not chayv to build a sukkah. Rather, if you find a sukkah on the road, you know, on your path, so there's a sukkah in the way, so now you're chayv to sleep in the sukkah then. So now, what would be the svar for that, right? So, like, why am I not chayv to build one, but I am chayv to sit in if it's there? So lavush is one svar. Lavush is it's a bigger pain to build a sukkah in this situation, right? You don't have the time, you don't have the resources, you know, you're busy, and you don't necessarily have these things there than it normally is, and thus the Torah wasn't machayv you in this situation. So now, the Levush interprets Tosos as saying this as well, that Tosos said Yishuv, that only in a Yishuv would you be Chayev. He meant a Jewish city, which has, like, sukkahs all around. And the Meiri, though, has a different explanation for this. Again, the Meiri said this himself, that if you find a sukkah in the road, you're Chayev, but not if you don't. He says, you're not Chayev to build in a sukkah in a place where you aren't living. This isn't your, like, home. You're not Kavua here. So therefore, you don't have to build a sukkah. But if there is a sukkah here, you have a Chayev to sit in the sukkah. So now, Tosos, though, as understood by the Magen Avraham, might be a different explanation. And that is, Yishuv means, whether it's Jewish or not, like not like, oh, there are sukkahs or not, but in a place which is settled, in an area of civilization, then you're not chayiv to build a sukkah in the wilderness, but you are chayiv to build a sukkah if it's a settled area. So now, what might be the svar for this opinion be? So now, you could say that it could just be a practical difference, right? Like, it's too hard to find building materials if you're in the Midbar, right? But if you're in a town where you could buy wood, that's weak to say he actually meant that. Because, like, I mean, like, Mehe Chatezi, that's necessarily true. So instead, there's another svar suggested, and that's the Shulchan Aruch Harav. The Shulchan Aruch Harav says that in a place where people live, you are chayav to build a sukkah. But if it's not a place where people live, then it's not a place where you're chayav, where you're even defined as being chayav to build a sukkah. And accordingly, based on this, the Magen Avraham says, in a place when you're in a non-Jewish village on a business trip, let's say. So you're hochei drachim during the day, but at night you're chayiv, the Gemara says, to be in a sukkah. Oh, but there's no sukkahs around, but you're chayiv to build a sukkah because you're in a yeshuv, and fundamentally you're in a place where people live, so you have to also make your living place here, which would be a sukkah. So now, the above discussion again ties back into time, this was your point maybe, that ties back into the earlier hakir about hochei drachim, whether it's a full hafka or whether it's a p'tor. How so? If you can build a sukkah at night, must you? So if it's a full hafka, it's a fundamental hafka, then it makes sense to say, like the Magen Avraham Shulchan Aruch Harav. It depends how kavua you are. If you're not kavua, then you're totally plotter. I'm like, you don't have to build a sukkah at all. You're not bichlal not. But if it's rather that it's just a p'tur, then it would depend on how hard it is. Like the levush, right? Like if I can like easily build it, so then you don't have the p'tur. But if I can't easily build it, then the p'tur applies. Good. So now. Yes, indeed. The same idea of how the hafka and the and oh, you're saying that for somebody who's well, I mean that's a separate thing. That first has a first step of having to discuss whether they're allowed to go on like such a trip anyhow, right? Like and then eat. Like, are they defined as holchei drachim? Right, but you might not have been able to. You might not be able to take advantage of the holchei drachim thing. You're right. Maybe that would come into play like bidyeved, but we're talking about lechachila there. You're allowed.
These holchei drachim are people that had to go, their debts.
Generally, yeah. The whole first discussion was about whether these people even rank as holchei drachim. But here we're talking about people who are real holchei drachim.
This is, yeah.
Exactly. Okay, so now let's talk about one more thing, and then with this we'll end shir 8, and I guess we don't have time for shir 9, because we want to get to real shir. Okay. What's the svar of Abaya? Abaya later on in the Gemara says that Shomer Ginos Uparnesim are putter because of Teshu Ketadur. How is this Teshu Ketadur? Rashi, Ran, Iri, it's too much of a bother for him to have to bring out all his nice furniture to the sukkah. Mm-hmm. That's based on the Gemara saying later on you have to bring out your nice furniture. And Miri adds on that if it rained, you'd have nowhere to put all your stuff. The Piskei Rid, in a similar vein, says that your wife isn't there. He's presumably based on the Gemara and Erech and on Gimel and Aleph. Right? So both Rashi, Ran, and Iri saying it's too much of a bother, you don't have your nice stuff. Piskei Rid saying your wife isn't there. They're both similar in the sense that they're saying that you're missing something. However, there's another sheet in the Rishonim, which is the Ra, Ritva, and the Rivav, which is that it's not normal to live there. Right? Where you have a house, you're chayv to build a sukkah. Here, you don't have a house, so you're not chayv to build a sukkah. Afterwards, I spoke to Rebbe Narsh. He was moded to me, although I don't want to get into the particulars here, that there's actually more room to divide up between the different Rishonim here, that there might actually not just be three general sheets, but I thought there were in fact five, but we'll leave that be for now, and we'll group them together here. That it's not normal to live there where you don't build a house, you're not chayv to build a sukkah. So now the same idea is said as the Shulchan Aruch Harav that we had earlier, except that this is an Abaya, and therefore these Rishonim would disagree with the Shulchan Aruch Harav l'halacha, that they're saying with an Abaya, who we don't possibly like, that if you don't have a house here, then you're not chayv to build a sukkah.
They would disagree
l'halacha, because they would disagree with the Shulchan Aruch Harav and Magen Ram, that there's no idea of like, oh, where you would have a house, you're chayv to build a sukkah, or you don't have a house, you're not chayv to build a sukkah. Mm-hmm. They said that's not a concept. That was only with an Abaya, we don't possibly like. If you could build a sukkah, you have to build a sukkah.
Perhaps. Oh, I see.
Right? Okay, so now what would Rava respond? So according to the first opinion that needed to bring these things out, you're not chayv to bring those things up objectively, they're not ma'akiv. And similarly, with the second opinion also, you could say that it doesn't really mean your wife, like that it's ma'akiv. You could knock it away in other ways, but for the sake of time, we'll leave it alone. Right? That these things are ma'akiv. Having your nice stuff or having your wife there are ma'akiv. That's teishu gain to duru l'chatzimah. Within this third opinion, though, that you'd say that no. Rava would say that no. Where you would build a hut, that's ready enough to build a sukkah, even if you wouldn't live here permanently. But would you build a shelter? Yes, you would build a shelter. Or even if you wouldn't build a shelter, since you're sitting there at least permanently, so that's enough kvias, perhaps, to say that you'd have to build it. And then this would create a potential third nafkmina for the earlier discussion about hafka versus a p'tur. Within Abaya, how would you understand? According to the Ra, Ritva, and Rivav, it's a full hafka. And thus, you're not chayav bichlal as a person who's not settled. Mm-hmm. According to the Rashi and the Rid, it's just the p'tor. Since you're missing something, therefore, you're a p'tor. And that's the end of Shir 8. Let's go listen to Shir 10. And Amir Hashem, at some later point, we'll try to throw in Shir 9.
You should see the back of the Masifta.
Yes.